All right, everyone. I've got a couple of articles that some people have sent me, and I want to go through them. There's some interesting stuff here. One is 7 things that show disrespect, no matter what people say. Then the other one is how to spot people who are full of shit. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Warrior Mindset Podcast. We're your guide as you make your way through life, getting better 1% every day. We believe that life is lived and true victory won through adversity. Nothing easy is ever worth it. We believe in the warrior ethos and support those that choose to walk that path.
Let's take a look at some of these 7 things people do that show disrespect no matter what they say. Adam, thank you for sending this article. It was really good. And a lot of these, I have to say, get under my skin. And some of these I'm probably guilty of. So I want to just start with that says, like, man, I've probably done some of these. And, if I have, I'm trying not to be a hypocrite. These are things that I'm working on, but I don't do them all the time. I would say that I probably have done this, some of these, and not on purpose, but all right, let's take a look at this. This article, that was sent, 7 things people do that show disrespect no matter what they say. The concept here is that disrespect ruins relationships, by Victor Mong. It's pretty good. Got over 2,500 claps in some comments. Yeah, so disrespect is damaging to healthy human interactions. And I think that that is definitely for sure. And, you know, we've talked about like social media and stuff. And I think that nowadays, like social media really lowers that barrier between, you know, our thoughts and essentially saying them to other people. Well, we're not saying them directly face to face. We are putting them out into the world. And if another human being, you know, reads those things, it's pretty much the same as saying it to their face, you know. Let's get through these. Ghosting someone without explanation. Yeah. Here's an example. I think they've got some examples in here. But here's some of mine, like a job candidate who suddenly stops responding to emails and calls from a recruiter after an interview without providing any explanation or follow-up. I've had this happen a few times myself with potential interns where, you know, they've clearly found something better, I guess, and you just never hear from them again, even though you'd, you know, been building us a small relationship or whatever. I've also had this happen in my coaching practice. And in my martial arts practice where I'm teaching people, and, you know, they will spend up to 2 to 3 years training with me and then just essentially, you know, put up this wall and just never message you again. And that's really hard to take and stomach. It's just not fun. Wasting other people's time. Arriving late to meetings or appointments consistently, causing others to wait unnecessarily and disrupting productivity. That is a big one. Wasting time. I can't stand that. I can't stand to be in, and this, I don't want this just to be a bitch session, but some of these things I think deserve talking about. Being punctual, number one, is mega important to being professional. I think punctuality equals professionalism. I know there's some cultural things with being on time, and there's a lot of other things out there. We had this part of this in a discussion, and I put out a YouTube short, and it got like mini micro viral. We got a lot of comments on it, and it was basically that someone out in the world had used a term called time blindness. It's essentially that they suffer from this inability to do things on time or to show up on time. I don't really know what that is. I don't think it's a real diagnosis. It sounds like bullshit. I will say that you can get places on time and you can do things on time. I think that is a vital skill in being a professional. It is a vital skill in being an adult, and you may not want to hear that, and I may be offending you, and I don't want to make you mad at me necessarily, but if you need to hear it, you need to hear it. It is an important thing, and you should know that people do take it seriously when you're late to things. It does bother people. And something else I've learned is that the person who says, "Oh, it doesn't matter," out loud, it actually matters, because in their head, they're thinking how much it matters. Again, you may not want to hear that, but that is the truth. This other one here, constantly interrupting when someone is still speaking. An example might be one that I just experienced recently during a team brainstorming session, consistently cutting off others while they're sharing their ideas and hindering collaboration, stifling creativity in the discussion somehow. So it was a brainstorming meeting, and the other person was just constantly pointing out how whatever idea was brought up, how it wouldn't work, how it couldn't be done, and how maybe it was a bad idea because of XYZ, when it was really just a meeting engineered to get ideas out on the table, good or bad, which is often the point in some brainstorming meetings. That's, you know, don't do that. Another one is like, you ever, and I'm probably guilty of this too. Have you ever talking to someone who maybe they may be flustered or tired or just this is how they are or whatever, but they start to say something and then you wind up finishing that statement for them? That's pretty annoying. I know I've done that. That is actually something I'm working on personally. I hope I don't do it a lot. If I do, tell me. I don't want to, but that is one that we should probably be careful of. That probably makes people pretty angry. And that's one of those that they will say, it doesn't matter, but it really does. Another one, giving backhanded compliments. They've got some good examples here. You know, backhanded compliments. So, here's some examples. You're good at this, considering your lack of experience. You're surprisingly funny for a quiet person. You're so independent. No wonder you haven't found someone yet. You're coping with this so much better than I thought you would. So things like that. In martial arts, you know, I've coached people only because I've done this too, and it's something I feel like I've overcome, but you know, for a long time, I don't think I was. And it made me look like an asshole, I think, is that when someone does something really well, you say like, wow, that was a good job for a beginner, or wow, it was a really great job for, you know, someone at your level, you know, it's kind of like the first one, I guess, but you know, why do you have to have the second part? Why do you have to have that validating, your personal validation part in that? Why can't you just make a compliment? And it's something that I've been trying to do, is just give compliments freely, without having to have them reflect on me or whatever. Like in, you know, in certain martial arts, like let's take jiu-jitsu, for example, you are going to get submitted at some point. You know, I'm not a black belt, so I don't have that issue, I guess, of not wanting to lose to people. The black belts don't come after me, but like, I don't carry that. So like if someone submits me or whatever, I don't get, you know, butthurt about it. So I just let it go, and I'm able to give them a compliment of like, wow, that was a great job. Like, you did that really well. You are a super ninja on that. You know, whatever the compliment is, not that like, oh, wow, you did that really well, even though I'm super strong. Or, wow, you submitted me, even though like I've been doing this a lot longer. You know, you don't have to have that second part. Backhanded compliments. Constantly undermining your achievements. So taking credit for a successful project during a team meeting while purposely downplaying the contributions of others. That's one. I've felt that before. They have this term, active destructive responding. You got an A on that? Well, it must have been an easy one. Sure, you finished the project early. Well, anybody could have done that with that much time. Right? So the purpose is not actually to give you a compliment. The purpose is to actually undermine, you know, what you're doing. So another one, like the example here, passive destructive responding is like when someone tells you they've just done something cool and you just essentially change the subject. Right? Or if you tell someone about a thing you just experienced or completed or whatever, they just don't respond. Like they don't react to it at all. Why can't everyone win? Like, why can't we celebrate wins? If someone else is successful, it doesn't mean that you are not successful, right? We tell the story all the time because I love it about the jiu-jitsu black belt who was submitted by, who had been out, he'd been a practitioner forever and he'd been out for a while, kind of lost a step and got submitted by a blue belt. So therefore felt the need to, lower his rank down to purple. It's white, blue, purple, brown, black, down a couple of levels because he didn't feel like he was a black belt anymore. So that doesn't build up the other person. It breaks you down because you have to be the center of all that stuff. It's not that the other person was just good enough to do it. It's that you were not good enough to not have it done. You know, that's not real humility. That's not real. That's not really letting that person win, you know, and that sucks. Invalidating others' feelings. Dismissing a colleague's concerns about a work issue by saying, you're overreacting, without acknowledging or addressing any of their actual concerns. That's a huge form of disrespect, right? There's terms like gaslighting and stuff like that in relationships. I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about, certain things, like even in a workplace scenario. And I know that I've done that before where someone is not liking something and I'm just like, oh, well, you just don't like this sort of thing, you know, or you always lead with your emotion. Can you be, professional for once? You know, and whether that other person is that way or not, I'm basically invalidating whatever they're trying to say without letting them, like, just get it out, you know, without letting them explain it. We can take the time to do that. You don't have to just hurry through and not give them the time. You can do that. You don't have to, you don't have to do anything with it, right? No one says you actually have to address it, but you do need to let it be said, I think. And I mean in a professional scenario. And I'm not talking about just every old argument or whatever, interpersonal, angry, things like that. Even in personal relationships, you should probably, take some time and think about those things. The last one, which, yeah, I'm a hypocrite about this one, but it drives me absolutely bonkers, is this digital multitasking during conversations. Checking emails or scrolling, whatever, during a business meeting or when you're just hanging out and talking with people or whatever, it means you're prioritizing that thing over that person. It sucks. I've done it. It sucks. There's no way around it. Just don't do it. You just please. I'm going to try to stop. I try to put my phone away. I try. even setting the phone on the table, even if it's upside down or whatever, it has this feeling that you are giving, you're elevating that inanimate device above, or at least on the same level as the person. I would be careful with that. I think that definitely sends a bad message. I know I've done that before. I am definitely guilty of that. We should all stop that. The phone sucks. The phone sucks. And it's not right. So think through this list. First off, Adam, I agree with every bit of it. Guilty of a decent part of it. Thank you for sending it. And it brings a lot of things to top of mind for me. It also made me think of a couple of quotes, and I went and looked them up and stuff. The first one, I don't really know who to attribute it to. I looked it up. I couldn't find, but I'm just going to attribute it to Mark Devine, which is where I first heard it, Coach Devine. What you allow is your standard. And I think about that one a lot when I'm coaching or teaching class. And I'm real, and what that means is like the behaviors you allow from other people into you, your life or your whatever you're doing is your standard. You are allowing it to happen first and foremost, but secondly, you are also telling others that I'm allowing this to happen. Everyone sees it. Everyone knows, and everyone sees you accepting it. So what you allow in your presence, what you allow is your standard. So think about that. Run it through that filter. Brené Brown, you teach people how to treat you by what you allow, what you stop, and what you reinforce. It's probably the same thing. I like the filter of thinking through that, but this is also a little more instructional. And I love Brené Brown. So you teach people how to treat you by what you allow and what you stop and what you reinforce. Bingo. I like the active concept of that, in that things aren't just happening to me. It's that I'm allowing things to happen. I'm reinforcing certain things, right? And the final one, something that could have added to the list, which is a way to show disrespect, and it, let's say it's my addition, be number 8, which is praise in public, criticize in private. And that's Dabo Swinney, head coach of Clemson. I like that a lot. I've been criticized in public. I've been criticized in meetings in front of other people, and that is absolutely disrespectful. And it's something I try to, you know, in teaching martial arts and coaching, there's a certain thing that you can do publicly, which is like, I think it's acceptable, like critiquing someone's form or giving them help, you know, the actual coaching part, because that's what everyone's there for. You know, if I'm teaching you a technique in martial arts and you're not doing it quite right, and I tell you, you know, from halfway across the room, like, hey, you know, you need to make sure that your leg's in the right position, or you're punching in the wrong place, or, you know, that you gotta, you know, get them with the hooks a different way. That's why we're all there, right? That's sort of agreed in the contract of what we're doing. But if, let's say, someone came to class and they looked like they slept in a ditch and they smelled bad, I would pull them aside before class starts, or even during class or whatever. I would do it in private, and I would tell them, I would say, hey, you know, you look kind of rough. Would you need any help? Or like, hey, you smell pretty rough. We can all smell you. You should probably clean that gi or those, you know, those clothes or whatever. Make sure you come in next time better prepared, please. I would not say that in public in front of everyone. Right. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter if it's your brother or your sister. You just got to do those things in private. But if, you know, someone's doing a great job, you should let everyone know that. You should praise that in public, loud and clear. And that's another great one. I think the opposite of that is a definite sign of disrespect. And it's got to go if you're keeping score. All right. Let's look at this other one. Which I thought was pretty fun. Chris sent this in, and let's take a look at it. 5 subtle signs someone is full of shit. Don't let them fool you. This picture's funny. Let's see here. Yeah. So this was a fun article. I've read this one a couple of times. I'd actually seen it before. I had it bookmarked. But since Chris hit me up with this, I thought it would be pretty funny to go through. And thank you, Chris. They are the loudest people in the room. It's not necessarily about volume, not like them yelling or whatever. It's about the one that demands the most attention is often the one that doesn't deserve the most attention. You know what I mean? It's when I think about performance or martial arts, it's that quiet, humble person who's just winning over and over and over that really deserve the attention. But the loudest person or the person that is soaking up all the attention is usually the one that doesn't need it. Need it to get better, right? They just rather be the attention focus rather than actually getting better. They try too hard to convince you. How many times we had that? Usually, it's kind of like a sales thing, right? Like the example, there's two sides to every metal. So these examples, financial freedom is amazing, but takes a ton of sacrifice early on. Being jacked looks great, but also means that you'll have to spend hours in the gym and basically eat nothing. Becoming successful often makes you lonely or makes you question the realness of your friendships. Whenever someone is selling you something really, really hard, oftentimes it's not surprise everything that they make it out to be. That seems pretty self-explanatory, but you'd be surprised. Probably in relationships too, I would imagine the person that's really, really working hard to sort of put you on a pedestal and sell you on themselves, they're probably overcompensating for something. You should probably take a minute and think about that. Okay. They go out of their way to tell you they are a certain way. So these examples, does the Dalai Lama tell everyone he's a good person? Does a bodybuilder lecture people on how disciplined they are? Some of them. Does a confident person boast about all their awesome achievements? We've all been around people who are very boastful or talk about their past achievements. I think probably the most textbook example of this is the ex high school jock, state champion or whatever, you know, where he's like 40. It's a Bruce Springsteen song about it, right? Where he's like 40 and all he talks about is his high school achievements. Because they really want you to think that they're this person, but they haven't been that person in a very long time. If someone is telling you about how humble they are, that in and of itself is probably not humility. Just things to pay attention to. They're all talk and no walk. They talk the talk, but have no evidence of walking the walk. So some examples from, I guess, the internet business, ghostwriters who haven't sent a single email, social media growth services that have less, like 200 or less followers, business coaching who've never run a business before. That one actually burns me up the most. I see a lot of business coaching going on. Life coaching now is a whole thing from people who haven't really experienced much. You know, I can't tell you how many startup advisory boards, panels, talks, mentor relationships that I've been in or been invited to be in. And I look around and the people to my left and right have literally not done anything. It's weird. And their advice often sticks out as not being good advice. You can hear it right away. I've spoken with Shakis about this a good bit on some past episodes we have, and it's that I want to see your battles, like in a scenario like that, I want to see your battle scars. I want to hear your stories about all the problems that you've been through, all the bullshit you've been through, right? And how you got out of it. Whenever someone's giving those talks or those lectures or being your mentor, and it's all about their success, and they never tell you about failures or how they've just gotten by or some bad stories or whatever, they're probably full of crap, because any successful business person or successful athlete, competitor, whatever, anyone who's truly found success have had more failures than you have. They've had more failures than most people. Like, you think about like Michael Jordan, the amount of shots that he scored, he probably has, you could probably look it up. I probably should have, but like 5 to 10 times more misses than he does the actual successful shots. And those are the stories that we want to hear. That's what proves that you're not full of shit, right? When you gloss over that stuff, and you don't talk about it. This last one really hit home for me. And I take this actively, and that is something that I'm working on. They can't answer your question simply. If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. God damn, that's a good one. Anytime I'm in a scenario where I'm teaching and I'm asked a question and I can't answer it simply, I can't say it's this or do it that way. If I have to hem and haw about it, then I don't know the material. I should either live up to that and say, wow, that's a great question. I don't know that right now, but I'm going to get back to you, and actually go do it, do the research, or go ask your teacher, or your mentor, whatever, for the answer, and then bring it back. Or just stop teaching that, right? You should probably stop teaching that thing. You should go get the requisite skills and then bring that back. Just own it. I think that a lot of times it's our ego, like that, like, you know, protective thing that wants to then make up sort of like bullshit answers or whatever, or kind of skate around it or make it more technical than it needs to be. I see this a lot in like IT, the IT world, where I'll ask a question about something of like a developer, and then they'll give me this like weird drawn out like answer about why the thing can't happen or whatever. And I'm like, look, I don't care how it happens. The concept is this. Let's talk through the concept. And that usually helps those like scenarios where I'm dealing with that or whatever. I think it can be helpful, but that is one that I've caught myself, since I've read this article, I've caught myself doing, and I'm actively owning those things that I don't know and trying to bring that back. And I think that's super important, because we're all full of shit on some level. All right. That's all I've got for these. I wanted to go through these two. Thank you guys for bringing me these really, really great articles. If you have any articles, complaints, comments, concerns, whatever, please hit us up. You can do it through whatever podcasting service, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Carrier Pigeon, whatever you want to send it to me, please do. I would love to look at it. And until next time, keep it real.